All right, Tim, Appetite for Construction. How you doing?
I haven't seen you in, what, 12 hours?
12 hours, but like 10 minutes ago, we were just recording another podcast. Seems like we're doing a lot of podcasts these days, but it's a good thing.
It is. It gives us an opportunity to talk to lots of different people in the industry. It gives us an opportunity to grow our podcast with new content. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So, let's bring in our guest. We're excited to bring him on. He is like the face of FW Web out in the Northeast. Come on, it's Michael Del Conte. He's a vice president of sales for FW Web and the heating and gas division. Michael, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, guys. How's it going? How are you? Thanks for having me on today. It's an honor and very much appreciate the opportunity. So, yeah, I'm excited. Things are good. How are you guys doing?
We were just recently with some people, and we mentioned that you were going to be on our podcast, and they're like, Did you know he does this, this, and this? So, a couple things, and one of the things was he does like an instructional golf thing. I'm not sure if I saw it on LinkedIn or somewhere else. And somebody like, and he goes, Mike, have you seen his golf game?
So it's actually a joke. I do that. I put out golf lessons from time to time. They're probably about maybe 2 or 3 minutes, just an instructional lesson. Yeah. But the thing is, it's always about trying to be funny. I'm a horrible golfer. So the idea of me giving a golf lesson is just comical in itself. Anybody who's ever seen me golf knows I'm pretty bad at it, but I do enjoy it.
It's a good way to schmooze and, get to know your clients or, people in the industry. So, yeah.
Absolutely. But, yeah, sometimes I just try to be funny. I did a putting lesson recently where I had 3 balls and I was trying to give somebody a lesson of never 3-putt again, right? Here's a simple lesson to take 3-putting out of your game. And I explained how some people typically hit it way too far on the first putt. And I took the first ball and I hit it way off the green. And then sometimes you hit it too short and your second putt is too long. That's why your 3-putt. So I just tapped the second one. I said, pretty much what you have to do is get as close as you can the first time around, right? And I took the putt. I was actually just trying to get it close and it wound up going in. And I'm like, see, folks, it's really not that hard. So, but I posted it out on like LinkedIn and Instagram, and there's a couple people that saw it that don't understand my humor or my sarcasm. Okay. And they thought I was actually giving a real golf lesson. And they're like, that's the worst golf lesson I've ever had, I've ever seen. And they don't realize that it's kind of like a spoof, right?
There's a guy I follow on Instagram. I might be getting this wrong, but it's like Manolo on golf. Have you heard of this guy? He's like a Hispanic.
Absolutely.
I have not.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, is he good?
He's funny. Yeah. He does give good tips, but he's funny. Yeah. I mean, he's.
Yeah. I actually know the technique of golf well. So if I'm playing with a golfer that's a good golfer that can actually execute the shots, I can give them lessons to a certain degree on how to draw the ball or how to fade the ball because I do know what you have to do to make it work. I personally just can't execute the shot. But when it comes to like where your feet should be, turning your wrist over, if you're trying to play a draw, putting that spin on. So I played golf with a couple of guys that were actually really good golfers. And I remember one of the guys had to hit a draw like out of the woods and bend it around. And I told him what he had to do. And he actually did it. And he was shocked. He's like, that was one of the best shots I've ever hit.
Dang.
I said, if I tried to do it, I'd probably hit a tree, but he was actually good enough to be able to execute all the things at the same time. So
I got you.
You said you're not a great golfer, but how often do you play golf?
Probably play golf once every month. Anyways, once a month, so not that often, 4 or 5 times a year. But I enjoy it. I do a lot of like the charity outings for some of our customers, contractors
Those are always
fundraiser benefit. I'll go to that, and it's low pressure. It's best ball usually, so you can just go out and have fun, and it's for a good cause. And I get involved with some of like the PHCC things from time to time too.
Can you hit it past the ladies' tee?
If I get a hold of one, yeah, and the wind's at my back.
You know what the rule is if you don't.
I am aware of what the rule is. they might not invite me back.
All right. So actually, one of the things also that they mentioned, and I've heard this from other people, is that was it a training or something you do online, a Zoom call with customers or something like you bring your own beverage, your beer, things like that.
Yeah. So this was something, this is called Hydronic Heating Hoppy Hour. And it was something that I would do every month. I did it the last I used to do it every week. And I did it every Thursday afternoon at 4 o'clock, and it was Hydronic Eating Hoppy Hour. It was a Zoom meeting, but everybody got the beverage of their choice. Yeah. I started doing this during COVID, really, when everybody was on lockdown and people weren't traveling or people weren't accepting face-to-face calls. It was a way for us at FW Web and myself to stay in front of our customers. And what we tried to do is make it social, make it fun, low key, but also bring an element of training to it also. So every week I did two things. I would highlight a certain beer, and I would try to find a cool beer that I hadn't had yet, and I would get a case of that beer or a six pack of that beer. And I would kind of, we'd go on and I'd critique the beer, and I'd have some, and I'd talk about it. I like it because it's hoppy or it's got good flavor. Mm-hmm. So I'd kind of give it a rating, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10, based on how well I thought the beer was. But, and then we also did a different training topic for hydronics. So we had low voltage wiring. We did electronics for hydronics. We've done some steam classes. We did some piping strategies for high efficiency boilers. We did service and maintenance teardown on high efficiency boilers. So we did a lot of different training topics, but it was cool because it was almost like an open forum. We had somebody, either myself or I had a guest on, to lead the agenda in the training. But people could jump in, ask questions, talk about different examples if they were in that situation. And it was really cool. It grew quite a bit. I remember we used to have like 400 or 500 people on every time. And at one point we had people in a lot of different countries. We had people from Canada that were on. We had people in the UK that were on, Italy. And then a lot of contractors throughout the U.S. and a lot of people from Web would jump on, and different manufacturers would jump on. So it was fun, and it was engaging. And I think bringing the different types of beer into it was fun. If you like craft beers, it was a cool way to taste and try out some new craft beers. So
you were like the Dave Portnoy of hydronics.
I guess. I should have kept it going.
Rating the beers and.
Yeah, but fortunately, everybody got to move around and travel again, and then I kind of got away from doing the Zoom calls. But I do get some calls from time to time for customers and say, hey, you should bring it back. And I'm thinking about maybe at some point bringing it back, but doing it once a month instead of doing it once a week. And even doing some live. Like, I was out with somebody at a brewery because we had an event. FW Web had a selling show. And they had the selling show at a brewery, and it was a really cool space. And somebody goes, Mike, you should do a heating training here and have a live hydronic heating hoppy hour, right? Where everybody can come in, and instead of doing it on Zoom, do it live. But also have a camera there in the event. If you couldn't be there, you could dial in and you could watch it and listen and comment and stuff like that.
Good idea.
Not totally ruling it out.
JP, the irony here is we heard all these stories about Mike last week while we were doing a podcast at a brewery.
Yeah, that's for sure. Exactly, so let's get to know Mike a little bit. How did you get started in the industry? Tell us what you do for FW Web. And I gotta tell you again, that suit is phenomenal. Look at that, Tim.
He's got his drip on today.
Yeah, look at that.
Yeah, don't let it fool you. So I've been in this business for 23 years. I really enjoy it. I love the wholesale distribution aspect of our business. We get to work with great people every day, great contractors, great people at Web. Our manufacturers are awesome. Our manufacturers' reps are awesome. So just really good salt of the earth people. So ever since I got into the industry, I've really enjoyed it. I consider myself very fortunate to be in this business. So at FWM, I'm the vice president of sales, specifically for the heating division and the gas division. So I oversee our hydronic heating portfolio, and I oversee our LP gas and gas division portfolio. So we're in 9 states throughout the Northeast, all throughout New England, all 6 New England states. We also have locations in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. So what I do is I travel the footprint of FW Web, and I visit a lot of our locations. I work with our general managers and our outside salespeople on a daily basis, and our customers, and pretty much just want to make sure that the product that we put forward, being the distribution and delivery of equipment and accessories, is a strong product that people want to buy every day. So we work with our customers and help them grow their business through training, through programs, through support. And we also work with our people to make sure that we have, you know, some of the best talented and hardworking people in the industry, so we can do what we do every day and deliver product. So FWEB is a family-owned business. FWEB's been in business since 1866, right? Yeah. Almost 160 years, really old company that's rich in history.
Yeah.
Think about it. The company started the year after the Civil War ended, right?
Yeah. So, I mean,
it was a long time ago and operated throughout the entire time with no breaks. So seen a lot, right? Been through a lot of different things throughout time, different world wars, different Great Depression, stock market collapse, and just been an American success story when it comes to family businesses. So a lot of great history and culture throughout the FWEB company. And we really care about our customers. We care about our customers a lot, and the customer service is the number one barometer that we use to measure our success every year. So,
are you located in Boston, or where are you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So our corporate office is in Bedford, Mass, which is right outside Boston. I grew up in the Boston area, and we have a CD, a central distribution. It's about a little over 1 million square feet. With high ceilings too. So really good cubic feet, to help get product to our locations, on a daily basis. So grew up in Boston, still live in Boston.
Mike, how many brands and products are in your portfolio for the heating and gas division?
Yeah, we have a lot. So we have 300 different manufacturers on the heating side, 125 different manufacturers on the gas side. So, you know, thousands of SKUs. We make it a point to, we're fortunate with the manufacturers that we have. We work with some of the best manufacturers in the heating business. And same thing on the gas business. So it's, we look for companies that innovate on a regular basis. We look for companies that have a strong quality track record. They make product really well. They have quality control procedures in place. And again, we look for good people, right? I always say people do business with people, right? I mean, I've said that for a long time. The relationship in this industry is really important. So, you know, the product has to work. The product has to do what it's designed to do. But we're also looking for good partnerships and good people, right? Because not everything goes the way you always plan it to go. And you know, you guys know shit happens in this industry. And it's not necessarily about what happened, but how do you fix it? You know, and do people run towards the problem or do people run away from the problem? So we know things aren't always going to go perfectly, just the nature of the beast of what we do. But we look for good partners and good products. And we say the same thing to our customers, right? Sometimes stuff happens, but and with FWEB, the customer always knows we're going to make it right. So we're a phone call away or a visit away. And we tell our people to be the person that runs towards the problem and fix it, not the person that runs away from the problem.
So I'm going to ask your question on the state of hydronics.
Sure. Yeah.
And, you know, with the, you know, this push by, let's just say the government of getting into heat pumps, you know, and getting rid of oil fired and gas fired stuff. Is that eventually going to help you, or is it kind of like your adversary here? This Appetite for Construction podcast is brought to you in part by PERC, the Propane Education and Research Council. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially construction pros. It's a single clean energy source that can meet your project's performance, safety, and resilience goals while maintaining efficiency and lowering costs. See how propane can help meet your project's needs by visiting propane.com now. Propane, it's the energy for everyone.
It's a good question. It's one that I think about quite a bit.
Yeah.
I mean, at FW Webb, we're diversified. We sell heat pumps. We sell oil cast iron boilers. We sell mini splits. We sell commercial LP boilers. So FW Webb's fine. We're very diversified. If the, if the market changed tomorrow and it went all heat pump, we would have products to sell the market, right? We serve a lot of different disciplines. So in that respect, we're diversified. On the hydronic heating specifically side, you can use heat pumps in hydronics. There are air-to-water heat pumps that we work with a lot of different manufacturers on air-to-water heat pumps. So you could typically – I mean, I think everybody wants to be comfortable, right? And anybody that really understands hydronics will tell you that hydronic heating is the most comfortable form of heat, of comfort. Radiant heat is there's nothing better than radiant heat. And there's a lot of different ways to heat homes using hydronics that are just great from a comfort standpoint, whether it's radiant, panel rads are nice and quiet. They look great. They achieve a lot of heat. They can run them on low temperature, so you're more efficient. For people that, from a luxury standpoint, if somebody wants snow melt in a driveway, a walkway, you can achieve that through hydronics. Mm-hmm. But so when you think about what's fueling this hydronic system, traditionally it's always been oil or natural gas or propane, right? Mm-hmm. As certain incentives are created by the federal government, or certain bans in some cases are created on fuel by the federal government, you can still have those hydronic systems. You would probably use some type of air-to-water heat pump, whether it's a monoblock or whether you have an outdoor heat pump with an indoor buffer tank with an electric element. You could have an electric boiler as a backup. So we're looking at all that, and we have products today where we have electric boilers, we have air-to-water heat pumps, we have heat pump boilers, there's electric commercial boilers that are being offered. So all the we're always looking 3 years down the road, 5 years down the road to make sure that we have products in stock that people want, right? Because we don't create the market, but we still have a product serving a specific market. So I'll tell you that my personal belief is that I don't think we'll ever get there, because I just don't think, number one, the grid can handle it based on the antiquated grid and what it's able to support. I don't think we'll get there for that reason. And I also know that how expensive it is for all these some of the renewables, right? I mean, whether it's wind or solar, it's extremely expensive, and it's not reliable. What happens to the turbines if it's not windy? What happens with your solar when it's not sunny? So fossil fuel is the most reliable and most cost-effective form of energy today. So I think you'll see kind of blended systems where people might use heat pumps in the off-season. But I think when it gets cold, I do think people will want to have that oil boiler or that propane or that natural gas boiler. Mm-hmm. And it looks affordable when it's subsidized by the government with rebates and tax incentives. But that's not going to last forever. At some point, somebody has to pay for it. And a lot of these markets are subsidized to a certain extent. But when that goes away and somebody sees what their utility bill is, you know, they gotta hope they're sitting down when they open it, right?
Yeah.
Because it's... The unfortunate thing is people are promised savings, right? That's what's scary about it. If somebody says, switch to this, it's a more cost-effective way, and it's not, you know? Yeah. I mean, a lot of people are being lied to, really. So I think there's good applications for it, but I just think it can't be a one-size-fits-all and just an over-application. So I think you got to look at what's your design temperature. What fuel sources are available, whether it's electricity, heat pump, oil, propane. And I think you'll see a lot of people with blended systems, right? Mixed use and, you know.
Yeah.
Mini splits are great, especially in homes that don't have ductwork and there's no air conditioning, right? And you can have that oil boiler, but you can put in mini splits and get air conditioning, which is nice. And it's a relatively simple installation compared to, you know, trying to run ductwork and everything, depending on what your ceilings and walls look like. But to then think like, okay, this unit's going to heat my entire house in northern Maine in January and February is just – I just think it's pie in the sky, and I don't think it's right for the consumer, really, for the homeowner. So I think it's great to add it and have the opportunity to use it when it's a mild mid-October day. But I do see in some markets, I mean, I spend time all throughout the Northeast. I even travel all throughout the country. I see markets where people are cutting out their fossil fuel boiler and they think that the mini splits are just going to heat the house year round. And personally, I think that that's going to be an expensive way to do it long term. And I think in certain markets where it does get cold, I mean, I'm talking about northern Vermont, northern Maine, up on the Canadian border. I think the cost to heat the house is going to be a lot more expensive, and I think it's going to be probably not going to be as comfortable as they were before.
Well, I did hear an example of that northern Vermont where it was like consistently negative 10 degrees for about, you know, 2-3 weeks straight, and they had a heat pump in there, and it was a drafty house. It wasn't, you know, sealed properly. It was an older house, old farmhouse, and they ended up having to get a backup heat system, a backup boiler, you know.
And I'm not anti-heat pump. Like I mentioned before, we FWM sells heat pumps, and we have some really good manufacturers on the heat pump side, right? And I think the technology is pretty cool. But I do think that when you ban a fuel source, you're taking the free market out of play, right? And and this is America, and we have a constitution, and it's capitalism and I think when you tell somebody you can't use oil, you can't use propane, you can't use natural gas, you have to use this system here, you're creating a monopoly, which is going to lend itself to higher prices for the consumer just by nature. And I think you're literally taking the free market out of play, which is no longer capitalism. It's you know, borders the line of communism to a certain extent. And I don't know what we can say on the show and what we can't say on the show, but I just think I look at what New Hampshire did, right? And New Hampshire created a bill, and it's a really cool bill. It's called Freedom of Energy, right? And what it does is it bans the idea of banning anything, right? So it's a ban on the bans. So everything's in play. Let the homeowner decide what they want to use. If somebody wants to put solar panels on their roof and mini splits, great, more power to them. It's their house. If somebody says, you know what, I want snow melt in my driveway and I want radiant and I want to have an oil cast iron boiler and I love my fuel dealer, then great, let them do it. You know, it's their house. So that's kind of how I feel. I'm a big fan of an open market. I'm a big fan of free trade. I'm a big fan of the Constitution. And I just think, when we try to eliminate competition and tell somebody what they have to use, I don't see it in the consumer's best interest.
Well, you're not alone in that opinion. I mean, a lot of people have said that in this industry. So,
speaking of markets, I'm curious, what are you hearing from your customers as we roll into 2024? What are they saying about the industry as a whole and the market and building trades and growth? And what are you hearing?
I think we've seen a little bit of a slowdown on the commercial side, not drastic, just a little bit, but engineers we talked to are busy. GCs we talked to are busy. There's still a backlog. There's still lots of work that's happening. On the residential install side, it's been good. I think we'd like to see a little bit colder weather, talking to a lot of our customers, but it looks like that's coming. Looks like it's here now. And that obviously helps. So we're talking to them. I think the one concern from talking to customers, again, this is across the Northeast, and this is on the commercial side, the residential side, install side. On their side, it's getting help, right? So filling positions when they have open positions and getting qualified people on board. I know talking to a lot of customers, they'd say, I'd hire 5 people tomorrow if I could find them. I think some markets are better for that than others. There's some markets where the labor pool is just not what it should be. I think that, and then in some cases getting paid, right? So, their receivables, in some cases, some people's receivables are getting drawn out a little too close. And I think the labor, getting the appropriate staff has been a concern. But one thing we do to offset that is we do a lot of training at FWWeb, in-house training for our contractors. So we tell everybody hire for attitude, train for skills. And that's what we do too. So we try to find people that have the right attitude, right work ethic, right mindset, right? That this person is going to be a hardworking contributing factor to the team. If they don't know something that we wish they knew, we'll teach them. we'll train them, right? Because it's a lot easier to train on a certain product or application than it is to train somebody to have a strong work ethic or to train somebody to give a hoot, right? Because if somebody cares, then they care. If somebody doesn't care, they don't care. If somebody doesn't have a strong work ethic, we can't really teach them to work harder. So we look for the right characteristics and personality attributes. And then we offer a lot of in-house training to get them the knowledge on hydraulic separation or hydronic water quality or air elimination or turndown ratios. And we offer the same thing to our contractors. We have two live-wired hydronic training vehicles that drive around the footprint with boilers inside the trucks. And we'll show up at their shop and tell people, come on outside, and we'll walk you through a heating system and different components. We'll grill up burgers on the Blackstone. And we have the same thing in our gas division, live fired gas equipment that we'll train people on. So a lot of times our contractors might be hiring people that don't have necessarily the longest 10-year experience, years in the trade, but they're like, you know what? This person shows up every day. They got the right attitude. They're a good team player. They communicate well. Perfect. Let's get them on board and let's help train them, right? And we'll help you in any way we can. And we lean on our manufacturers a lot for that too. Our manufacturers are really good about helping out and you know, going anywhere. So that approach, I think, has helped with some of that stuff. And talking to people that are, we're involved with a lot of the trade schools. We support a lot of the trade schools in the Northeast, and we always try to do events with them too, with the truck and the trailers. And it's nice to see now, for a while, the attendance at trade schools was just, you know, really low, scary low. And it looks like it's making a comeback, and a lot of people now have full classes. So I think that's good for our industry long term.
It's good to hear.
It is. Because it wasn't that way for a long time. So, but it's definitely making a comeback.
So, Michael, I'm going to preface this next question or thought by saying that what we love about this industry, it's the connections, it's the people in it. So I was at a seminar last week, sitting in a seminar at PHCC, and it was some people from wholesalers, and it was contractors, and it was a manufacturer, and how they all kind of collaborate together and work together and things like that. And I guess the main message is how can we all make each other better, right? How can we all make each other rock stars in the industry? One of the thoughts that came out of that is like the wholesaling industry, the supply house industry in the next 5 to 10 years, Amazon came up, like, you know, like this faceless, you just drop stuff off and do you see this in the future with, you know, supply houses, or is it always going to be like, we need that connection? We need, especially if I need a product, I need to go to the wholesaler today. Kind of take me through what you see the future of FW Web.
Yeah. So it's a very, very, very good question. I just know what I know. I know a lot about the wholesale distribution industry because I've been doing it for a long time. And I don't think it's as easy as some people might think on from the outside looking in, that Amazon could just show up and start doing it, right? There's a lot that goes into it from a product knowledge standpoint and really that personal touch to the customer. One of the things that I love the most about this industry, is the people, right? Mm-hmm. And it is the relationships that we have with our customers, and they're just the salt of the earth people. And we have, obviously a lot of customers being the size that we are, the number of locations that we are. And I meet a lot of them on it. I travel over every week. I'm in different locations, and I don't know of any other industry in this country where you're going to have the quality of people. In our industry, right? From manufacturer to rep to wholesaler down to contractor. It's very unique in that respect. And I just like, we start doing business with customers and there's a business relationship, but the more you get to know them, people become friends. Yeah. I'm friends with a lot of my customers.
Yeah. Giving out those golf tips.
Right? Exactly. But I know a lot of people in business in different industries and it's not the same. It's not the same everywhere. And I think that's the strength of our industry. And that's where while you have to consider every threat seriously, I don't see that becoming the biggest threat for us in the short term, or maybe even the long term. I just think that as long as we do, and when I say we, I'm talking about FW Web. As long as FW Web does what FW Web does, what we've done historically, which is take care of customers, be available, support them, provide a relationship, deliver when we say we're going to deliver. I don't see somebody else just coming in and doing that without having that, the relationship or the history or the legacy. And so we are constantly looking down the road. We're constantly planning, strategizing, and every threat, we do take seriously, but we just know what we can control and what we can't control. And if we continue to put the focus on our customer and provide a high level of service and a high level of quality, they shouldn't want to go anywhere else.
I was just going to follow up. Have you offered, I'm sorry for my ignorance on this subject, but do you offer online ordering through FW Web, or is it?
We do. Yeah. Yeah. The nice thing about FW Web, you can come into a store and pick up products and check out right there. You could call your inside salesperson and place an order and have it delivered. You could call your inside salesperson, place an order, and say, I want to come pick it up. Your outside sales, we have outside salespeople that go and see customers on a regular basis. You could place orders through them. You could go on our website, fwweb.com. You know, it's a portal for ordering, and people can place orders right through our website, and we'll deliver to them the next day. A lot of times somebody might say, hey, you know what? I'm going to put an order online. They're going to go down to web and pick it up.
Yeah.
We offer a lot of different convenient ways to place orders.
I gotcha.
FWWeb. Our website's on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And it's not just for ordering, but there's also, people can look back at previous invoices. They can look at quotes. Mm-hmm. They can get spec sheets on product. Mm-hmm. Somebody needs an O&M manual or installation structure, all that stuff, all that product's available through our website.
Yeah, if I'm living in the Northeast and I want a new Bradford White water heater, I'm calling FW Web.
Right. That's exactly right. You know it.
Well,
you know,
and I was going to ask you, Mike, you talked about training earlier and working closely with the manufacturers. I'm assuming you're also working pretty closely and you're pretty active with a lot of different associations in the industry.
Yeah. So we're involved with a lot of them. Eastern Energy Expo, OESP, is one of oil energy service providers. NPGA is the National Propane Gas Association. And there's a lot of sub-chapters of NPGA. There's PGAIN, Propane Gas Association of New England. There's NYPGA for New York Propane Gas Association. Every state has their own chapter, which we're also actively involved in. The PHCC. Is another one that we're actively involved in, plumbing, heating, cooling contractors.
Yeah.
Hardy, ACCA. So, you know, we go to the AHR show every year and constantly meet with our vendors out there. So, it's an active industry and there's a lot of different associations, but we got a lot of value in it because it helps us stay on the cutting edge of what's going on, which allows us to be more of a value for our customers.
We've been talking 30 minutes and you articulated very well FW Web, its history and things like that. But I'm sitting in section 106, row 15, seat 3. And I look in the left field, I see FW Web on the billboard at Fenway. Tell me what that means to you or to me or anybody seeing that.
So I was brand recognition. Right. So it's a reminder of FW Web and FW Web's commitment to the industry.
You still have it up there, right? In left field or right field?
Absolutely.
Make sure. Because I've been and I've seen it.
So we're in left field at Fenway Park. We're actually in right field at Yankee Stadium because a few years ago, FW Web, we made an acquisition in the Bronx with a company in New York. We've grown throughout Long Island and down through Philadelphia and Buffalo, New York. So we continue to expand and grow. So we are – and sports marketing has been a strategy for ours in our marketing department. Mm-hmm. And it works well. I think our customer base relates well to the local sports team. You know, and it allows us that brand recognition when they're out at a game. And so whether they're at a game with us or maybe they're at a game with their friends or with their family, but it's brand recognition, seeing the logo. And in some cases, we'll be able to, you know, we'll t- get the opportunity to spend a day at the ballpark with one customer from time to time, which is nice to enjoy it together.
And it's kind of cool. The Boston area, you've got the FW Webb and you've also got WB Mason. Yeah. And they're both, it's, you know, two iconic Boston companies.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. People call us from time to time looking at water paper clubs.
All right, Mike. So I'm a dying Chicago sports fan. None of our teams are very good. Let's be honest.
You get to watch Connor Bedard. You know, it's pretty exciting, right?
He's just one guy on a team of hacks. But anyway, I mean, tell me, growing up, you had the Patriots, you got the Celtics now who are strong, you got the I mean, come on, how spoiled are you?
So spoiled.
Red Sox have a down year or whatever, but Titles you got things to look forward to.
We had such a good run. I mean, really good, just for such a long time. Just really, if you're a sports fan, I mean, Boston, Mass is the place to live, right? I mean, the Celtics were good for a long time with Larry Bird and Robert Parrish in the 80s. And then you had the Big Three, and you got the Bruins that have just been solid. And forget about it, but the Patriots, right? I mean, just if you didn't win the Super Bowl, it was just a disappointing year. Patriots. Red Sox breaking the curse, winning a couple World Series. So, yeah, it's fun. It's fun. There's always a something to look forward to. There's always a team that's making a run. And, you know, sometimes it's a letdown. Sometimes it's a disappointment. But there's a lot more times where it's a winning season or a positive year than the downside, right? So, it's fun. It's fun. Yeah. Very lucky.
And JP, you had your run with the Bulls back in the 80s and 90s. And
okay, but that was 24 years ago.
Your Cubs.
So what about the Blackhawks? The Blackhawks aren't going to make any noise this year in the NHL. They've always been a pretty good team.
You know, I saw a graphic that their picks coming up. They have a few, I think they have a couple first rounders, some second round. They're going to have a good team in like 2 to 3 years. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. And the team they have now doesn't quit. They're scrappy, but they don't just have the talent, but they'll be there.
Interesting
in a couple
to
years.
See how the Bruins do this year. I know we lost Patrice Bergeron last year. He retired, and he was just a great player for a long time. But they got some good players. They got a good team. They're skating well between Pastrnak. They got Brad Marchand now. He's the captain this year, and got a couple of good goalies. You know what? I mean, they could have another really good season.
Make some noise. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, they will.
That's it. So.
Well, Michael, thanks so much, man. We've been wanting to have you on, and I'm just so glad we did, because you're phenomenal, dude. I mean, I love it. I love it. You even got dressed up, like I said. You're wearing that nice suit. Come on.
So I appreciate you guys having me on the show. I tell you, anytime I get a chance to talk about Hydronics or FW Webb or our industry in general, I really do enjoy it. So I appreciate you guys having me on, and if you guys are ever in the Boston area through your travels, please let me know. I'd be happy to grab some time with you, and maybe get to a Red Sox game, or maybe I'll give you a golf tip.
And we'll get Mark. We'll get Mark on.
Get Mark.
So, I got a real quick golf lesson for you. Guaranteed break 100 every time out. You guys want to hear it?
Yep.
Three simple steps. Guaranteed break 100. Number one. Leave your driver in the bag, all right? I want you to start hitting 3-wood. Instead of driver, ball's going to be in play more often. 2, eliminate the 3-putt, right? Just that first putt that you make, you just focus, take a couple extra seconds, walk around the hole, see the break. 3 putts will kill your score. That's the number one reason why people don't break 100. Yeah. And the last one, really important, play 9 holes instead of 18. Play 9 instead of 18. Yeah. Okay, so if you play 9, leave the driver in the bag, don't 3-putt, you're going to break 100, I guarantee you. One's free.
Thank you. Thank you.
That one's on the house. Guys, thanks for having us on. You got a great show going. You do a lot of really good things for the industry, and I'm just honored to be a guest on today.
Thanks so much, Michael. We appreciate
you. Great having you on, Mike. Thanks.